This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. So you made it, huh?
Yeah, I made it through the snow. It wasn't too bad.
No, it wasn't. How much earlier did you leave?
Only like 5 to 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I got up fearful that it was going to be. In Milwaukee, we kind of got about 4 inches. We got a little bit more than what, people expected. I went to bed last night. I thought that was going to be the end of it. I got up this morning, and, after I removed the snow last night and realized got about as much there now as I did when I removed it last night. So anyway, it's Friday, and that means the one and only Sandy Williams is back in the saddle again. Good morning, Chief.
Yeah. I flew back from Bozeman, Montana. Ended up coming home in the middle of the night. It felt like Santa Claus.
Well, you had been...
I went down the chimney, which was not the way I normally enter the house.
Well, you had been dreaming for a white Christmas, and you got your wishes, huh?
I guess, yeah. I didn't know it would be this white. All the planes were delayed. This was happening in Minneapolis, too, and around the country, so there were lots of plane delays. So, yeah, I got to know the Minneapolis airport very well, very, very well.
Well, you know, Sandy, we've been, for those who don't really and aren't excited about having all this snow, we've been pretty fortunate over the years without having, so much snow, right? I mean, we've actually getting snow in January.
Yeah, last year we had just about 3 weeks of actual winter with snow. And the rest of it was like North Carolina. But, Wisconsin is not actually a heavy snow place. I mean, we don't get lake effect snow like Buffalo, New York, or a place like that. But we typically can count on snow. I would say, what we're experiencing right now feels like what a normal winter used to feel like when we were younger, before the climate didn't start changing.
So, Sandy, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but... we know about Doge, on the national level. I don't know if you knew that even right here at home, Robin Voss is, he wants a Doge for state government. That's anyway.
Well, it's not the first time that, it used to be very common that governors would have commissions of lay people, citizens, who would be advising the government on things. And there have been efficiency business leaders who've been asked to come in and look at government agencies and make recommendations on how they can become more efficient. I mean, this isn't the concept of having something like Droge isn't so very troublesome. What is troublesome is the power that seems to be being handed to the citizens, who are not just common citizens, right? I mean, the clearly the lead person on this whole Doge operation nationally is the richest man in the world, and someone who's developing a following that's undoubtedly going to challenge Donald Trump. In fact, in the public media, Elon Musk has a bigger following than Donald Trump. At the state level, we'll see. There's no one in Wisconsin in the private sector who can be the tail that wags the dog in quite the same fashion as Elon Musk, I don't think.
So, Sandy, we've been here before. As long as you and I have been together and you've been appearing, at the end of the beginning of a new year and towards the end of the old year, I don't know how many years in a row we've talked about this and the debt ceiling and the budget. And so they're going to shut down the government. And you always so cool and calculated. Oh, by the way, did I introduce you?
That's all right.
No.
We'll just proceed. Okay. I'm the mystery guy from the North.
Sandy Williams, for those of you who don't know, he's my co-host, and he appears every Friday and Tuesday on the Earl Ingram Show. So Sandy, you and I have done this dance two-step before, and I've been in sometimes all-out panic. Hey, they're gonna shut down the government. And you always so cool and calculated says, well, I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to come to some kind of agreement. At the 12th hour.
I think the problem is that the media is the ally of the politicians who want to create a sense of hysteria and pressure. The media likes nothing better than to create a hysteria because it causes people to get worried, turn on their station, listen to what they have to say about it. But, I don't think Donald Trump has the stomach for having the government shut down for any length of time at all. I mean, is it going to shut down? It could do it momentarily, but, a shutdown isn't going to last a week. This is not a situation where, the government will go be insolvent, stop paying its bills exactly. So, they have a continuing resolution process. We've had shutdowns before. What usually happens is the things the public likes best get shut down first, the public parks. But I think this is going to get resolved because the things they're fighting over mostly are sort of ideological principle, number one. Number two, these continuing resolutions can't really stand the light of day because they're basically filled with silly fat, silly pork. I don't quite understand how it is that we get to this point and then it gets resolved with the kind of compromises that you see in the bill. But both parties are complicit in it. This is not the Democrats trying to inflict the Republicans with some pork bill that's all filled with all Democratic wishes. Washington's political realism will carry the day by the end of the weekend, is my prediction.
Well, Sandy, what makes this different is they had the agreement that they always get right before the holiday. Democrats and Republicans both shake hands, they hold their noses, and they say, okay, have a Merry Christmas to one another. See you, next year. And that same thing happened this time as well. They thought that they had already had this done. And then this figure from left field begins to send messaging. This guy who's bigger than life, apparently, who invested $270 million in Trump's campaign. And now all of a sudden he starts bringing pressure. While Donald Trump is not even aware, we don't know that, but whether or not Donald Trump put him up to it, we don't know that part of it. But the conversation is that Donald Trump didn't know that he was doing this, and he starts bringing pressure on Congress people, a public figure.
I think this is Elon Musk just trying to flex his muscle in this capacity as the Doge chairperson or whatever we want to call this.
But his muscle is considerable, right?
Well, the muscle is considerable, obviously, because his following on X and his capacity to get the word out. The other thing is that he's kind of a mythical figure in a lot of people's minds. I mean, one of the things about the American public is that we have this aspirational view of things. All of us want to be Elon Musk. You know, Elon Musk came from South Africa without lots of money in his pocket and obviously has generated the biggest fortune in the world. And to some people, that's the kind of mythical champion that they want to follow around. So part of the American character is that instead of developing a great deal of envy and anger at the very wealthy, we tend to listen to them and respect them and think they're heroic figures. So Elon Musk has got that going for him. I think the other thing he's got going for him is that Donald Trump thinks that he's a heroic figure because Elon Musk is as rich as Donald Trump would like to be. You know, Donald Trump's wealth is, I'm sure to him, feels, to Donald Trump, his wealth feels very fragile because it's been built on a kind of a house of cards. It's a brand. He's suspect at even being a billionaire, or was until very recently, until he's, some of the things that have now come his way because of his political positions have allowed him to maybe get somewhat more substantial wealth. But I think he idolizes Elon Musk. People predict they're going to fall out. I don't think so. I think Elon Musk is the money bag that Donald Trump needs. And number two, Elon Musk has such an oracle through his ex, the old Twitter vehicle, that Donald Trump can't tolerate having Elon Musk as his enemy. So he's not gonna give Elon Musk the back of his hand like he has so many other people. So this prediction that they're going to have a falling out, I disagree with. I think Donald Trump is the puppet, and I think Elon Musk is the puppeteer. And Donald Trump might be happy in this circumstance so long as he's viewed as a very powerful person.
You know, Sandy, we're talking about a guy like Donald Trump almost being subservient. I've never seen him ever, but I guess he's never been around a guy worth, you know, $300 or $400 billion either.
And growing, you know,
right.
Like it was 250. And the amazing thing is, you know, we watched Elon Musk go from the brink of bankruptcy 15 years ago, 10 years ago even, to being, you know, maybe $500 billion today. It's crazy wealthy, but unfortunately for us, I think Elon Musk wants to flex this muscle. He can't ever be president. He's a South African national, native born, but he might be able to run the country, and I think he's going to try.
All right, 855-752-4842. Phone lines are open as always. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. This conversation will continue.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
God rest ye merry billionaires, let nothing you dismay. Forget your workers' families going hungry on this day. And save yourselves from income tax you'll never need to pay. Oh, tidings of corruption and greed, corruption and greed. Oh, tidings of corruption and greed.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams, Sandy the Music.
Well, the music is Christmas-oriented, as you could tell, but it was also aimed at maybe some of the issues of the day. That one, I think, is particularly appropriate as we talk about Elon Musk and the Doge Committee. And the the king and his court, you know, the assemblage of billionaires at the top of our government is kind of breathtaking.
All right, let's go to the phone lines quickly before we got some other things we want to talk about. Good morning to you, Sherry from Horicon. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. Good morning, Sam. I have a problem. Tomorrow morning, we've been planning this for months and months. My daughter is getting married at the Capitol in Madison in the Rotunda. Now, if the government closes down, would the Capitol still be open for her wedding?
Well, happily, Wisconsin's government runs on a funding level that's independent from the federal government. So there should be no connection between the operation of the state capitol and the federal government shutdown. So I think your daughter's wedding is good to go.
Oh, thank God. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm sure you probably tossed and turned all night last night, not knowing the answer to that.
Yeah, and congratulations. And the Rotunda will be a beautiful place, and I think they have a big, beautiful Christmas tree in the middle of it. Well, that sounds like a spectacular venue.
Yeah, it should be wonderful. They got the tree from Rhinelander this year. So, and all the students put up ornaments they made about the state parks. So yeah. It should be a really neat tree.
Have a wonderful day, and I wish your daughter the best.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening, and have a Merry Christmas and a great wedding. So, Sandy, this is an article by Chris Brennan of the USA Today. Will there be a government shutdown? Trump wants the clout and the chaos. Trump asked Republicans not to support a bipartisan bill that would avoid a government shutdown. Then he blamed Joe Biden. Did you forget that what Donald Trump's first term as president was like? This week we get a reminder. Governing is for losers. Burning things down so you can be illuminated by the flames is all the rage again. America's government may be funded when Friday night becomes Saturday morning, or we all might lurch into another Trump government shutdown. The scramble is on to vote on that in the U.S. House. Likely Thursday night, Trump on Thursday afternoon, back to new funding proposal. So, this guy says Republicans officially just want chaos and attention. So, Sandy, can they blame this on Democrats, which is what I'm hearing? I'm watching the news and I'm listening to Republicans, and they're saying the Democrats are causing this shutdown.
Well, I remember a scene in The Odd Couple, the movie, where the one guy throws the plate of spaghetti up on the wall to see if it'll stick. That's what's going on right now. Both, the Democrats appear and say this is the Republicans shutting it down, which seems like a relatively realistic analysis of it. And the Republicans appear and say, no, it's the Democrats. And I guarantee you that tomorrow there will be focus groups and polls taken by both parties to try and figure out who the American public is believing about the cause for the shutdown.
Well, let me ask you, if they had an agreement, the Democrats agreed, Republicans agreed, and, you know, how can it now be deemed equally?
Exactly. You know, I mean, that you're talking about the facts of the matter, but what the politicians right now are trying to set the table for a varied set of perceptions, okay? And so it's the public perception that matters to the politicians, and they're trying to control perception right now. I don't think the Republicans will successfully be able to pin the tail on the donkeys.
literally.
So I think we'll find out that this all this bravado is designed by Elon Musk, I think, to draw attention to what his committee does and to try and say, hey, be careful of me. I've got lots of muscle. Look what I've done. But I think that Trump will not want the backlash that might be attributed to him if there's a lengthy shutdown. So if we have a 2-day shutdown or something, you know, that'll have an innocuous effect. I think Wall Street's current pessimism has not been the result of a concern about a government shutdown. So we're watching people who make bets who haven't yet bet that there's going to be a significant shutdown. I think the downturn is attributed to, well, we can talk about it later after the break, but you know, this stock market change is attributed, I think, to long-term policy concerns about the Trump administration.
You know, Sandy, we've all kind of envisioned, you know, what things could look like if Trump got reelected, and you know, we spent a week with you talking about Project 2025 and what that could look like. And for all the reasons in the world, we kind of want to, you know, go over a little bit more of that and jog your memory as we move into 2025 and some of the things that we probably never thought could possibly come to pass, because I thought that we had a government that was situated that these kind of things couldn't happen. And yet here it is. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that and the impact that it's going to have on everyday citizens. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you.
No possessions made a shill for earthly gain. Imagine all the people led by men who have no shame. Oh, tidings of corruption and greed, corruption and greed. Oh, tidings.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All I want for Christmas is a whole bunch of stuff, but anything that you can buy me won't be enough, 'cause everything I'm hoping for is intangible, like free healthcare and gun control. If you want to make the world a better place, say all right,
all right,
all right,
all right.
If you want a peaceful world for Christmas Day, say all right,
all right,
all right.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. Sandy, the music is you know, festive.
It's pretty
spot
good,
on. Yeah. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
Well, it's about Christmas. It's about some of the stuff we're talking about as well. Some people hope for Christmas might be disappointed by this year's what we're going to get under the tree this year, but we can hope for it. But
so here's something, Sandy, that I had mentioned to you earlier. We're going to talk about the Emoluments Clause and why that's there and why Donald Trump hasn't had to divest in many of his businesses. But then we can't say that without looking at Elon Musk. Elon Musk has drastically increased his fortune in the weeks following Donald Trump's presidential election victory. I don't think many people know this. To become the first person in history to have a net worth in excess of $400 billion. Listen to this. The Tesla and SpaceX CEO, who contributed over $100 million to the former and future president's campaign, saw his net worth grow by 69%. He went from $264 billion on November 6th to $447 billion on December 12th as he prepares to take over a major role in Trump's incoming administration as a co-leader of the Department of Government Efficiency. Sandy, what's at the root of this? Well, then this, much of the increase can be accounted for by the surge in Tesla stock value, which rose in the wake of the election with the expectation that Trump's new government will be good for the electric car industry. The company's stock has reached record highs, closing at $424 per share on Wednesday, elevating the company's market value to $1.36 trillion. But before you weigh in, they were condemning Joe Biden and electric cars. The Republicans constantly, nonstop, beating up Joe Biden and electric cars. Here, it's the exact opposite. And now they're in support.
Well, you know, what they're doing is they're talking about, Trump has talked about putting immense tariffs on foreign cars. Well, the most threatening foreign cars out there are the cheap electric cars being made in China. So Tesla was threatened probably by the potential. China makes more electric cars than Tesla. There's one manufacturer of electric cars in China that's much bigger than Tesla. So, I mean, you know, the fact is, surprise, but the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And we're watching it happen. I mean, much of what is happening to Elon Musk now is not corruption per se. It's the fact that when government policy shifts in directions, it can make people richer or it can make people poorer. And Elon Musk happens to have his wealth tied up in things that have a great deal to do with government policy, electric vehicles, SpaceX, Starlink. You know, he's got huge contracts with the American government in SpaceX. Starlink has substantial contracts, and Tesla depends a great deal on government policy. So,
it may not be illegal, but it's certainly unethical.
Well, it certainly smells, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, so a lot of what has controlled behavior in the past has been the American's public ability to smell, right? But apparently the American public has olfactory fatigue. That's the term when you've been around to smell so long you don't smell it any longer, which is a godsend to us, you know, in a way, but you know, if you happen to live in a place of filled with bad odors. But the olfactory fatigue we have about smelling corruption is going to be a serious problem. And I, like I've said before, I think the lesson that Trump learned a long time ago was that if you do things openly and notoriously, they lose this quality of scandal and become something which the American public is willing to accept. So, you know, the tape, the famous tape before he was elected the first time, in which he discussed
women,
his handling of women,
right,
to put it literally, and the rest of his life really is the proof of that reality. If you do it openly and notoriously, and now we have a government that's being openly and notoriously inhabited by billionaires. He's putting people who have a direct interest in the regulations that they are now going to control. And by direct interest, I mean an interest associated with their wealth.
Sandy!
It's up to the American public to stand up to this.
Sandy!
Because,
go ahead.
Well, the rules of corruption in Washington are like a slalom course to be skied through. And the DOGE committee first of all, it's not a department, okay? Trump called the department, but Ramaswamy and Elon Musk has their lawyers telling him, listen, don't call this a department. It's not a department. It's a commission. You aren't in the government. You're simply consulting to the government. You aren't getting paid. You know, all you're doing is exerting the power of your intellect. Okay, and you're going to give people your opinions, and they don't have to follow them, but clearly, Elon Musk is in a position, there's so much muscle behind his opinions with X and, you know, the old Twitter, you know, so.
But Sandy, none of this should be accepted by Congress. Congress, doesn't it have a responsibility, Sandy, to make sure that
Congress has had ethical olfactory fatigue for decades, and it's gotten to the point where, you know, after COVID, some people can't smell at all anymore. And I think that Congress has caught ethical COVID some long time ago, and it affected their olfactory nerves because, you know, the standard in Washington of people who achieve wealth indirectly because of their knowledge of government and potentially their influence in government. Hell, that's the way Washington, D.C. works.
Oh, Sandy, I guess before I go to the phone lines, I brought up the emoluments clause, which works for elected officials. But in the case of Elon Musk, I don't think many Americans understand yet that he's already inside of a month been able to double his wealth. And I'm sure he's going to continue to double his, as well as Donald Trump will be doubling and tripling and quadrupling his, while the American people stay where they are, marred and struggling to put food on the table. And so for those people who keep saying that we voted for Donald Trump because we the middle class have been left behind, what do they say when they look and see this picture? I mean, you don't have to be Picasso to see what this is.
No, obviously. And Elon Musk has so far never exhibited any tendency to worry about the welfare. He's not known to be a philanthropic
individual. No, but he's one guy. I'm talking about... There has to be some checks on him. How come there are no checks on him?
Well, like I said, the laws give people voice, right? If you going back in time, William Randolph Hearst used the bully pulpit of his yellow journalism. He owned a bunch of newspapers. Newspapers have always been allowed to exert influence, and used to be able to exert a great deal of influence. William Randolph Hearst started the Spanish-American War. So, we have to be careful. People should be entitled to express their opinion and be persuasive. The question now becomes whether the American public...
He's profiting from that. Tremendously.
Well, he's profiting indirectly. He's not profiting because the government is putting the money in his pocket or he's taking the money from the government. He's profiting because... The advice that he's giving the government is being followed. Now, there are some conflict of interest rules that could and possibly should apply to him and to this Doge operation, but they fall in the range of sort of technical gray legal language and how do you exercise restraint over somebody who's simply exercising their voice and exercising the muscle of their opinion. And if it got to the Supreme Court, I think the Supreme Court's going to err on the side of worrying about First Amendment rights to free speech, and Elon Musk will argue that that's all he's exercising.
So, Sandy, my thing is, this man is soon to be a trillionaire, and there's nothing in the future that says the conditions of the middle class that's been the whole election was about, that there's anything that we can see that's going to improve any of that.
Well, we think the election should have been about the plight of the middle class. And the middle class that voted for Donald Trump hoped that Donald Trump would be responsive to the plight of the middle class and the policies that they adopted. I don't think Elon Musk has anything about the middle class in mind whatsoever with respect to the policies he's trying to...
Well, neither does Donald Trump.
Well, and I suspect Donald Trump doesn't either. So, that's the sorry aspect of this. And we're going to watch as the policies unfold, because I think the tax bill, the tax reductions they talk about, we'll see the extent they'll throw a bone to the middle class, right? They'll give the middle class a little tiny bit of a tax reduction because all we need to do is throw crumbs, let them eat cake. You know, this is the Marie Antoinette approach to the masses, feed them something. And so, you know, the tax reductions that the middle class was satisfied with in 2017 were really very small compared to the tax benefits that were realized by the very wealth, because as we know, the rich get richer.
Well, you know, we're going to, let me say this to you, Sandy. Phone lines open at 855-752-4842. We're going to come to you guys, I promise you, right at the top of the next hour. You know, Sandy, and you and the listening audience, you had better pay heed to the conversation that we're having. Sandy, I don't know if there's anything that we can do now. Because these things, are they legal? Apparently, the things that are happening are legal, and our government can't do anything to stop it.
Well, the government can. You know, the K Street, and what K Street did in the dark with lobbyists going into people's offices when we didn't know it and setting up dark PACs that would fund campaigns, all of that was legal, but it seemed to be surreptitious and dark. Now what we're seeing is this kind of influence exercised on that influence squared, right, cubed, with very wealthy people, but they're doing it in the open. And what we need to do is go talk to our politicians and say, you guys got to listen to us. You don't need to listen to Elon Musk. It's a tough challenge, apparently.
Well, supposedly, some of the politicians, Donald Trump and the Republicans, supposedly did listen to the middle class, certain parts of our middle class, and they went along with them and thought that these are the guys that are going to fix it. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you right to the phone lines. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
If I was there the night before, and I heard them knocking at my door, would I turn them down or let them in on Christmas Eve in Bethlehem? If I was watching o'er the fields when the angel of the Lord appeared, would I believe as the shepherds did on Christmas Eve in Bethlehem?
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Friday. It's Friday. And my co-host, Sandy, was sending the music.
Well, it's Christmas. This one, it might not be the one I had in mind, but it's the irony of Christmas Eve in Bethlehem and then the military and the problems that are occurring around the Holy Land right now. So this is Christmas music with an ironic twist is what I chose today.
All right. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the fact that Elon Musk's wealth has doubled since Donald Trump won the election. And so he went from $264 billion to over $440 billion inside of a month. And only the devil knows where it's going to end. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
happy Friday.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. You know, listening to the media over the last several weeks, really since the election, has been very, very difficult. And the primary reason is because, in my opinion, the media they've lost their way. There's no longer a fiduciary responsibility whatsoever. It's all about influencing people and collecting more money. It's all about the money, right? And, you know, as a net result, the American people are spinning around in circles. They don't know what's true and what isn't, even though, in my opinion, it's very, very easy to ascertain the truth from fiction. You just have to want to look. For whatever reason, it just seems we haven't had the motivation to. But so let me just get down to the fundamental real quick, if you don't mind. You know, we're talking about Elon Musk, and first of all, if he was going to play such a big role in the administration, shouldn't the public have been vetted about that maybe during, like, the debate or, you know, a year before the election, you know, 9 months before? The fact is the donors rule because we're in a pay-to-play system. Nobody can deny that. They write the language of the legislation. They fund the people who are going to be voting. And, of course, they're going to get the benefit. So when we see a very, very strong economy that we've witnessed here in America, leading the world in growth, in performance, there's plenty of money in our economy. The problem is it's not trickling down. And to me, this is such an easy solution to solve, and that is get back into specific tax code and you know, let's figure this thing out. We don't have the time anymore. We have big problems on our hands, and until the people take over and accept the role in a republic, the donors are wagging the dog here, and I'm afraid it's never going to end. You know, the electric vehicle conversation you guys were having earlier, and what we saw, it was big oil, dark money,
yes,
that was pounding against, yes, electric vehicles, big oil. But again, there's no requirement for them to be visible, to be accountable to you and I. It has nothing to do anymore with the Constitution. We have literally handed the ball to these corporates through Citizens United and the Bilotti and Buckley Supreme Court cases in the mid-70s. We've handed the ball right over to them, and now we're letting them dictate the messages that are being fed to us that, quite frankly, all of them could be dismantled in minutes if we had a robust public media.
You know, Mike, but if you also had a populace, let's stop acting like the populace is supposed to understand the complexities of the things that are going on. They're just trying to live their lives, man.
And
they can't watch everything and everybody, and they're trusting in the people that they elect.
I think what we're begging for is responsible and effective leadership, okay? And it needs to be both responsible and effective. I think the problem is that with Donald Trump, what we got was effective in terms of coalescing a populist movement. But we need someone who's going to lead us into the direction of solving Mike's problems.
Yeah, well, Mike's problems are all of our problems.
Absolutely.
Right.
I'm saying the problems Mike identifies.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
855-752-4842. You know, we're heading into a new year, and we've got to find some solutions and know the right questions to ask as we move into 2025. And Sandy Williams, my co-host, is always there. So 855-752-4842, your thoughts as we move into 2025. Hang on the lines. We'll come right to you.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.